Sorry, what I'm hesitating is because there are words in my head. I'm not sure if I want to say it out. Okay, so, okay. First of all, what reform are you talking about? There's no such thing as reform. We're just rethinking about exams. Not even rethinking. Probably just even discussing until the next minister comes along. Okay, I agree with you, there's no will.
There's no political will?
Zero, from where I'm coming from, from where I'm experiencing, where kids are concerned. There's nothing. Okay, what can be done? I think if you get the politicians out of the way, first, get the stakeholders involved somehow, okay, truly involved, not window dressing, round table discussions, but truly involved. People are really concerned. There are a lot of parents who are very, very concerned. If you can get them involved, I think we can get something moving. We need to totally, I think the word reform can't even be used now. We need to revolutionize the entire education system because we are so far back.
Who would you identify as being stakeholders? You have obviously removed politicians from the equation. How about the state?
Parents, number one. Parents. You know, the big problem about schooling today, you know, because is when a child goes to school, the parents get locked out. The parents go to the school twice a year if everything is hunky-dory, very nice, okay? More if the child has problems in school. And just to collect report cards, what is involvement? Okay, parents need to be more involved. Schools need to be changed, transformed to accommodate the involvement. So that's why you really need a transformation of sort, a revolution of sort, because the current school system does not allow and enable that. Parents get locked out, and that's the saddest thing.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Okay. Marin, what about you? What would you do to improve the way that we are educating our children and ourselves?
Thank you, Jack. Okay. I thought about your questions very sort of carefully so that I would be very specific and not just rant and go on and on that I have a tendency to do. So this is what I would do. I would first of all create some kind of a think tank. But the think tank, and you know, I agree with KV there, would have to be intergenerational, interdisciplinary. I think this round table that has happened on Monday in Putrajaya for the UPSR PMR, you know, the buzzword right now is creativity and innovation, but this roundtable discussion involves only educationists, teachers, people in education. That is really not being very creative and innovative, if you ask me.
So meaning not enough of the stakeholders are in the picture?
Yeah, and then we have to relook at who are the stakeholders. So for me, interdisciplinary, intergenerational, intercultural, and interclass. This is my think tank la, in an ideal world. Okay, and then I would go back to some of the basic, what I feel are very creative principles of new education, which came out in a book by Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed. Now, Pedagogy of the Oppressed is nothing new. It came out in 68, I think, in Portuguese, and then in 1970 in English and Spanish. And Freire was born in 1921 and died in 1997 or something. So Pedagogy of the Oppressed is 40 years old. But it has got, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It has got all the basic things. The problem with teacher-student dichotomy. The problem with what he calls banking, where you imagine that the student is the empty vessel and the teacher is the one with all the knowledge, and then you bank the student. You just put your deposits in the student and hope that the student will, having all these deposits, become a knowledgeable, critical person. It just doesn't work. So I think we don't have to. And Freire talks about education as an act of freedom.
What does that mean, though, an act of freedom?
That via education, people are able to make informed decisions about, first of all, their lives, their communities around them, the state, the nation, the world. And therefore, free themselves from all kinds of oppression, and right now education is oppressive. So I would just use Ferrer, really. I mean, we really don't have to go so far. I don't think there's... I have not read every document there is out there, but I really don't think there's any document as forward-thinking as Ferrer. Chapter 2 of Ferrer. Everybody go and read. So that's the second thing I would do, and use that, and then try and create systems that would use some of these principles. Yeah, it would be impossible to use all the systems, but I think it would be a good, viable starting point.
For example, can you give us an example of how that would be operationalized in the Malaysian public education system?
Okay, for example, the whole idea of banking, I really agree that the teacher cannot just use the student as an empty deposit. The student must be engaged. Now, the Ministry of Education has several times talked about student-centered learning, and that the teachers become students, students become teachers, and the learning happens, that the learning is organic and happens not just from me, the teacher, to you, the student, but from me, the teacher, to you, the student, and from you, the student, back to me, the teacher.
Right. So it's a two-way loop instead of it being one way.
It's a two-way loop, and you know it involves a different kind of teaching methodology, not just stand and deliver, but engage the students in problem solving. So you know, yeah, okay, you have to teach certain things, but you have to find ways to teach it, which is not just using the style of banking, which is possible. It is more difficult, but it is possible.